Good morning, and welcome to County Executive Dave Coulter's special telephone town hall for senior citizens on the coronavirus. My name is Hillary, and I work for Mr. Coulter. Let me tell you about the call so we can get started. Because of the number of people involved, the call is set up as listen only. You can hear us, but we can't hear you. During questions, I can press a button on my computer so the person asking the question can be heard by the rest of us when they ask their question. If you would like to ask a question, press 9 on your telephone touchpad, and you'll be transferred to another member of our staff who will take down your name and subject of your question. After you provide that information, you'll return to the main call to listen to Mr. Coulter and our health experts. When your name is called, you'll be able to ask your question. Again, welcome to County Executive Dave Coulter's special telephone town hall for senior citizens on the coronavirus. If you would like to ask a question during this phone call, please press 9. Now I'm going to turn the call over to Oakland County Executive Dave Coulter.
Thank you, Hillary, and welcome, everyone. I really appreciate that you would take the time to join us. I know that this is an uncertain time. I want to make sure you have the facts about the coronavirus so you can stay safe and healthy. We'll also tell you about what steps that we're taking at the county in lockstep with our public health department to slow the spread of the virus in Oakland County. So first, I want to ask Kathy Forsley, the director of our health department, to explain the basics of coronavirus.
So I'd like to share with you what we do know about the virus. It is spread person to person, and we also know that it's possible for the virus to be transmitted if you touch a surface where someone else with the virus has recently touched, that you may pick up the virus that way, and we can talk about that more, about what can we do to prevent the transmission. We also know that the major symptoms that we look for coronavirus are fever of 100.4 or higher, cough and shortness of breath are definitely the classic symptoms for coronavirus. Anyone can get the virus, no matter what age you are. But when people get the virus, the majority of people will have a mild to moderate symptoms. But there is a percentage of our population that will experience greater symptoms and be at higher risk for the need for hospitalization. And that would include ages 60 and up, but it also includes people with underlying health conditions. So, you know, that's a fair number of our population that does have that risk. So it's important that we all understand what steps we can all take not to transmit the virus.
Thank you, Kathy. Now remember, if you're just joining the call and have a question for County Executive Dave Coulter or Kathy Forsley, the director of our health department, please press 9. This is a telephone town hall for senior citizens on the coronavirus. This is a listen-only call. You can hear us, but we can't hear you until we get to the question and answer period. I'm going to turn it back over to County Executive Dave Coulter.
Thanks, Hillary. As Kathy just said, and as someone who is celebrating his 60th birthday today, those of us 60 and above have to be extra cautious, and so I'm glad you're joining us. So let me ask you, Kathy, if someone is feeling sick, what should they do?
So the first thing is you need to isolate yourself. If you're not feeling well, make sure you're not around others. You're practicing social distancing of at least 6 feet away from other people. It's important for you to call your physician's office to report to your physician what it is you're experiencing. But do not get in your car and drive to your physician's office until you've called ahead. If you're very ill, of course, then you may be thinking you need hospitalization. So in those cases, you would call 911 and explain the situation, or someone with you could explain it. But for the most part, you would be calling your physician's office first. to tell them what your situation is.
And Kathy, if people want to call us, our nurse on call, how do they do that? Who should do that?
Yes, if you have any questions about COVID-19 or coronavirus, please do feel free to call Oakland County Health Division's nurse on call. We're open from 7 in the morning till 7 p.m. at night right now, and we do have some limited hours on the weekend as well. And the phone number for that is 800-848-5533.
Excellent. Now, if you're just joining us, thank you. This is Dave Coulter, Oakland County Executive, and I'm hosting this special call for senior citizens to explain the facts around the coronavirus. We have almost 3,000 people on the line, so thank you for joining us. I want you to press 9 if you have a question. So I want to talk a little bit about the number of cases in Oakland County. We currently have 14 positive cases in our county. Our public health department interviews each individual. They investigate possible public exposures and informs the public. We know that many of our cases had international or domestic travel, but some did not, which tells us the virus is spreading in our community. Kathy, maybe talk to us a little bit about who is getting tested at this time and whether we are expecting testing and positive results to increase in the next days and weeks.
Well, we definitely expect the cases to increase. The more people we test, we expect to see more. The people that are getting tested, first you should contact your physician to see if your physician thinks you need to be tested. But you may have heard about drive-through clinics recently at hospitals because there are so many people going to the emergency departments to get tested. That was really overwhelming, those departments. So now they're having some drive-through testing capabilities around some hospitals, and you need to check with the hospital to see if they're doing that. But predominantly, they're reserving that for people that really think that maybe they need hospitalization. So other than that, the thing you need to do if you think you need to be tested is either call our nurse on call. Once again, that's 800-848-5533. They can help you with some of those questions too. And also your medical provider can help you with that as well.
Good. And Hillary, I think we have our first question.
We do. We have several questions, and so I'm going to go to Hannah, who is calling us from Farmington Hills and has a really important question for our grandparents as it relates to their grandchildren. Hannah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead and ask your question.
My question is, I have I am 90 years old. My grandchildren want to come to play here. Shall I let them? They are 3 and 5 years old.
The answer to that question is definitely not.
They should not come.
That's correct. The interesting thing about this particular virus is in younger people, generally speaking, their symptoms are so mild they may never be recognized as coronavirus and they might not be tested. So the best policy is, for now, to stay away from them, find other ways to visit with them over the phone, maybe...
Thank you.
Or something like that.
So just keep away. Thank you very much. I appreciate
that. Thank you for calling. Okay, we can actually go to another question. I'm going to go to a question about face masks. Sharon from Franklin. Can you hear me, and can you ask your question?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm wondering if it is important for people who come into my home to wear face masks if they have been out in the public, and should they touch anything? And I have a second question. Pardon me. Well, I'll follow with that after you answer the first.
Okay. So in terms of face masks, the CDC is not recommending that anyone wear face masks unless it's the healthcare community who are working with sick people in very, very close contact, or if they direct their patient to put on a face mask because they might be ill. The main thing about people coming into your home is they should not be coming in your home if they're not feeling well. So that's a question you should be asking. You know, if you don't feel well, please come back another time. But don't let anyone in your home that's not feeling well. And we should all be thinking about the things that any one of us touch, even if we're healthy. If doorknobs, handrails, elevator buttons, the list goes on. If we start to think about it, where we touch it and so does someone else, we either need to get creative about how we touch those surfaces, like using your knuckle or your elbow instead of your finger, and always washing your hands right after you touch a commonly touched surface, and inviting others to possibly do the same, and then cleaning and sanitizing those surfaces with a great degree of regularity.
Thank you. If you're just joining our call, welcome to County Executive Dave Coulter's special town hall for senior citizens on the coronavirus. This is a listen-only call, so you can hear us, but we can't hear you. During the question and answer period, you'll be able to ask your question directly. If you want to ask a question, press 9. Now I'm going to go to a question from Maggie in Southfield, who has a good question about the flu shot. Maggie, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good. Go ahead and ask your question.
I haven't had my flu shot, and I'm wondering if I should try to get one.
Yes, that's a very good question. Flu shots are very important. Even when we're talking about coronavirus or COVID-19, flu is definitely still something we should all be thinking about, especially those of us, and that includes me, over the age of 60 or even younger than that. It's very important we're protected against that. Even if we have a flu shot and may still get a mild case of flu, it'll be definitely much milder, much less chance of needing to be hospitalized. And the last thing we need to do is pile viruses on top of viruses. So you could be down and out with the flu if you haven't had a flu shot and then be potentially exposed to coronavirus, and that's a really risky thing. So we need to protect ourselves from whatever is available that we can protect ourselves from, and flu being at the top of that list.
Good question.
Okay, we do. We have another question from Kathy, who's calling us from Holly, and she wants to understand the symptoms to look for. Kathy, can you go ahead with your question?
Yes. I would like to know more about the symptoms. I just got a text from my daughter. She's saying that her boyfriend can't keep anything down. He keeps on throwing up and has a sore throat. So I'd like to know more about the symptoms of this disease.
So the classic symptoms of the severe symptoms would be the fever, the shortness of breath, and the cough. But that's not to say other things can't also be going on, such as the sore throat. I have heard of a couple of reports of gastrointestinal at the same time. But that's definitely not the classic symptom for COVID-19. Definitely, this person needs to speak to their physician.
Okay, thank you.
Great question, thank you. Again, this is Dave Coulter. I'm the Oakland County Executive, and I'm with Kathy Forsley, who runs our health department here in Oakland County, and we're doing a town hall to address your questions on the coronavirus. So if you have a question, press 9. We're going to try to get to as many as we can, but we're almost at 4,000 people, so please understand if we don't get to your question, there's a lot of information on our website that you can also go to, and you can also call our nurses on call. But let's go to another question. Hillary, do we have one?
Yes, we have a question from an from Miss Daniels, who is calling from Commerce Township. So yes, go ahead, ma'am.
My question is ask you how many people in Oakland County has come up with this this virus?
Yes, that's a great question. So we know that as of this morning, 14 people are presumed positive for the virus. We also know this number is going to grow. It's been growing daily, and it will continue to grow. I don't want to scare you, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. But the good news is, if we all practice the things that Kathy is talking about, keeping our distance from people, washing our hands, and all of these things, we have the ability to slow the progression of the virus if we all do all of the things that we need to do. You may have heard earlier today the governor announced that restaurants and bars will be closed until further notice except for carryouts, so you can still get carryouts. These might seem like extreme measures, but it's the kinds of things that we need to do if we're going to slow the virus. And so just take your precautions, take this seriously, but don't panic. We'll get through this together. Hillary, any other questions?
Yes, we're going to go to Karen from West Bloomfield. Karen, can you hear us? Go ahead and ask your question.
I've got a question about handling things around the house. We've been self-quarantined for a couple of days. We get mail delivery. We get newspaper delivery. I went out a few days ago and got some groceries before all of this. So I'm wondering how safe is just handling groceries, mail, newspapers. And that's kind of related to the second part. I'm hearing that we should have delivery. We don't need groceries now, but we will eventually. Why is it safer for me to have delivery than for me to go to the store early in the morning when no one's there, practicing social distancing and washing my head, and to pick up my next round of milk and eggs?
I think the answer to that question is that we're trying to encourage people to limit their exposure to crowds and other people. And if you can do that by continuing to shop in a time when it's not busy, I don't see anything wrong with that, although you have to recognize that you're handling a shopping cart and you're touching things in the grocery store, so be cognizant of the diligent hand washing, and when you can't get to a sink and soap, so you have hand sanitizer with you. So that's very important. If you're having things delivered to your home, grocery stores are working very hard to make sure the people that are doing those deliveries are also practicing all of these prevention methods. But it doesn't really matter what you're handling. You need to consider the fact that there could be something on the surface, and it's fine, you can handle it. But just know that when you're done handling it, you wash your hands with soap and warm water and scrub for 20 seconds, and don't touch your face. And if you do, wash your hands right away. So if you keep practicing these things, those are really sound tools that we use to ensure that you do not become infected with the virus.
Okay, we have a couple of questions about our pets. So I'm going to go to Sharon, who has a question about if you can get the virus. Go ahead, Sharon. You can ask your question.
Yes, I was wondering. I have two cats, and one goes outside and one doesn't. And I'm wondering if they could get the virus outside, or isn't it like that for animals?
Could
we give them the virus each way?
Right. And to be honest with you, I'm not 100% sure about that. I have read a report that said that there was a dog that was tested and was positive for it, you know, but I don't know if that was actually COVID-19 or a category of viruses that are lumped under coronavirus. They say that it could be carried in on an animal that may have been in touch, or someone with coronavirus may have touched the animal. But really, when we're talking about our pets, I would really recommend that you contact your veterinarian and ask that question, because that is something that is information that's really just evolving, and I believe that the veterinarians will have the most up-to-date information about that first.
Thank you. I want to go to a question again about how grandparents should interact with their grandchildren. So, Patty from Southfield, are you? Can you hear us? Can you ask your question? Patty Harper, Ms. Harper, are you on the phone? Ms. Harper had a question about whether she should go to her grandson's birthday party. It would be teenagers and younger, maybe 15 people. She's on oral chemotherapy, and she and her husband are 70.
Right. That's a very good question. And the answer to that, I'm sorry to say, is absolutely not. We need to do our level best to keep. For instance, last night myself, we set my mother up with Skype, and my daughter's got her some other technology to utilize. Her birthday is Thursday, and she's in a senior living facility, and we are not going to be able to celebrate with her. We will celebrate down the road, and we'll do some things via Skype and send her flowers, but no, we're not going to be visiting her, and I would recommend that same strategy for every other grandparent out there is, during this period, this is not the time to be visiting in person, but utilize the other tools that you have.
And just remember, we know this is a hardship, but these things can be postponed. The most important thing is that for their birthday next year, you're still around, and that's our main concern, and it should be yours as well. So great question. Any others, Hillary?
Yes, we have a question from Gladys, and she has a question about how to handle doctor's appointments during this time. Gladys, are you on the phone?
Yes. I have an appointment with, I have a routine appointment with my doctor tomorrow, and I'm wondering, should I go?
And Kathy, I would add to that, and County Executive, we have an additional question about should they continue physical therapy. So if you could combine those questions together.
So these are questions that really should be posed to your physician because I don't know, you know, even though you may be calling it a routine check, there may be something that is very important for your physician to know how you're doing in a certain area. Perhaps they're taking a blood test that's very important to your physician's information. But physicians are really not promoting coming in unless it's necessary right now. I would definitely get in touch with your physician's office both about, do I need to come in for my routine check? Can we talk over the phone? Or should I be doing physical therapy? Your doctor can answer both of those questions.
Excellent. Hillary, do we have another question?
We do, and I just want to, again, welcome people to the phone call. This is a telephone town hall for senior citizens throughout Oakland County on the coronavirus. My name is Hillary Chambers, and I work for Mr. Coulter, our county executive, and joining us on the call are Kathy Forsley, our health director. So I'm going to go to a question from Elizabeth. Elizabeth from Troy, are you on the line?
Yes. Yes. I have, I'm being short of breath, but usually I get pneumonia, usually like once a year. But I was wondering because I was at Kroger's and people were coughing, and then I was in a card shop, and that's about a week ago. And I'm getting like short of breath. So I was just wondering, I got that thing which you breathe, I pop in my mouth, so I still have that. Should I go to my doctors and find out what I, you know, if I should do something, if it's bad, or did I pick something up while I was out? But that's the only time place I was out. But otherwise, I'm staying home.
It's very important that you relay that information to your physician's office and let him know about the exposure that you had about a week ago to someone that wasn't feeling well and was coughing, and now you're having this symptom, that should be evaluated at least by phone with your physician, and he will give you, or she will give you, other instructions. And if you have any other questions regarding this after you've talked to your physician, please feel free to contact our nurse on call, which is 1-800-848-5533. The other thing I'd like to say at this time, because you brought it to mind, is let's say you call your physician and your physician says, you know what, I think you should isolate at home while you're having this symptom or that symptom, and let's see how it progresses. We have some really good information on our website for public at www.oakgov.com/health. If you go to the public button, we have something called self-monitoring guidance, and it can help people that are quarantining at home understand when it's important to call the doctor back, what to be looking for. It's a very important fact sheet that we have gotten information from the CDC and put it into a format that would be easy for you to use.
These are really good questions. Thank you, everybody. We have more than 4,000 people on our call, so pardon us if we can't get to all your calls, but still, if you have a question, press 9, and we'll try to get to as many of them as possible. This is Dave Coulter, the County Executive. Hillary, do we have another question?
Yes, we're going to go to Michelle from Milford, who has a question about her daughter visiting from Texas. Michelle, are you there?
Yes. It's my stepdaughter, and she's flying in next week to take care of a sick relative. She'll be going back and forth, her and fiance, plus they're coming from the airplane to stay at my house. What precautions should I take to keep them from giving me the germs?
Definitely practice social distancing. Really stay at least 6 feet away from them. Be careful with things that you're both touching, making sure you're washing your hands frequently, and making sure you're cleaning commonly touched surfaces frequently. I think that it would be best if they weren't staying with you, but because they've traveled and, you know, we are all in a vulnerable population, but even if you're under the same roof, there are many things you can do to distance yourself from each other. If you can use separate bathrooms, that would be wonderful, too.
Planes, unfortunately, are, have a higher risk because the air circulates, and so I hope none of you have travel plans that require air travel. I would think through those if you do and take extra precautions when interacting with people who have been on airplanes.
Okay, we're going to go to a question from Mary, who has a similar question about the incubation period. Mary, can you hear us? You can ask your question.
Yes, I would like to know what the incubation period is.
Well, it's stated to be between 2 and 14 days, but I think the majority of them are like 5 to 7 days. But that's general guidance. I suppose it could go a little longer, and sometimes people don't recognize a symptom as a symptom right away. So that's the general guidance, but at least you're not out of the window for at least 14 days.
Good question. Hillary, do we have another one?
Yes, we have... a question from Mary Beth in Holly. Mary Beth, can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
My question is about the pneumonia vaccines. Like most people over 65, my husband and I have had the pneumonia vaccines a year apart. Will that help us if we do contract the virus? Or don't these pneumonia vaccines apply to viruses?
Right. I mean, pneumonia can be a complication of any flu, definitely the coronavirus. We believe that there is definitely benefits and a great advantage to having those vaccines, so we strongly recommend them. So anyone listening that hasn't had their flu vaccine or their pneumonia vaccines, please get in touch with our nurse on call if you would like to have a vaccine. You can call them at 800-848-5533. They can advise you about what vaccines you do need, or of course you can certainly work with your provider's office. You may want to come to the health division because we don't see sick clients here, rather than your physician's office for these vaccines at this time if you're not comfortable with a separation between sick and well in the office. But the important thing is get those vaccines. It is a complication of COVID-19. They do talk about developing a severe pneumonia. We believe that there is an advantage to having that pneumonia vaccine. There is no downside to getting it.
Okay, we're going to go to Ms. Tabbitt from Southfield. Newhoff, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you. I live in Southfield, and my question is, where, in case of I have the symptoms, where I have to go, and how much it, if it will be included in our insurance testing?
A good question. So if you have symptoms, make sure you call your physician first. Don't go directly to your physician's office. Don't go directly to an ER. Call first so that they can make sure that if you're coming in, if they think you need to, that they are equipped to handle you without exposing others to the virus. That's vitally important. The other thing is your question about insurance. Yes, you will be covered. All of the insurance companies are working right now to make sure that not only is it covered, many are even waiving copays, anything that you need to be seen. They do not want there to be barriers to this. They want you to get the help you need, and there's a lot of things going on as we speak to make sure that that is the way it's paved for you and that you will have no barriers to getting help.
Okay. We have a lot of questions, Kathy and Dave, so maybe you can go back over this, about people who have, they have appointments scheduled, so whether it's with an ophthalmologist or to get their hair cut or to see a dermatologist, you know, appointments that take a long time to get scheduled. How do they handle those appointments that they may have coming up?
So I think I would look at my appointments and see exactly what do I have to get done now and what can wait. It doesn't mean that you can't go to these appointments, but you have to be cognizant of the fact that some of the people you may see in these environments may actually have COVID-19, and maybe they aren't showing signs and symptoms in a way that you might easily recognize, so you wouldn't know if you had an exposure. So I think if you have concerns and it's a doctor's appointment, you should definitely call ahead and see if it's okay to come in and make sure that they may have ideas for you, that you still come in and have ideas for how to provide extra precautions. They may put your mind at ease because they're using what we call personal protective equipment, PPE. Maybe they're utilizing that and they can put you at ease. So otherwise, I think that this might be a time to delay some of those appointments. And ladies, I know what you're thinking when we're talking about delaying hair appointments, but maybe there's something else that could be done. Or maybe you call your hairstylist who you may have been going to for 20 years and you know really, really well, and, you know, be very candid about your concerns there too, and maybe there's something that he or she could work out with you to ensure your absolute protection. And
okay.
There are a lot of opportunities to still do things.
Okay, another question just on that topic of doing things is from Ann Boland in Farmington Hills. Ann, can you ask your question?
Yes, thank you. I know it's very important for us keeping social distances in large groups. My question is it safe for four friends in a home, private home, playing bridge? The people would be over 70, myself 90.
Well, and I know this is a question that is being grappled with in senior living facilities as well. I do know that many of them are canceling activities, but I also know that there are still people that are getting together and playing cards. But you have to really work on that social distancing and really think about, do I have a tickle in my throat today? Do I have a scratchy throat? Do I feel a little, this is another symptom to think about, do I feel really fatigued when I don't normally? These are all signs that something might be coming on. You should really limit exposure in those circumstances, and I'm hoping that if you do decide to play cards with your friends, you all talk about these things so that you can be really sure everybody's self-monitoring the way they need to. And then if you do play cards or sit around a table and talk together, use as much distance as you can and wash your hands. That's, I can't express that enough. Even while we're playing cards or talking, we're touching our faces too. It's very important to wash your hands,
Okay. I want to go to MacArthur Stewart from Pontiac. Mr. Stewart, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Go ahead and ask your question.
Yes, I have the flu. I have the flu, and my temperature, I ran a temperature of 101.9. Okay, should I go and be tested or not?
You should contact your physician, tell them your symptoms, and they will tell you if you need to be tested or seen, or they might want to test you for the flu, and also they may do a respiratory panel on you. There's a number of tests they might want to run in addition to or instead of the COVID-19 test. So, but it's very vital you talk to your doctor. And if you can't get a hold of your doctor, you can call your nearby hospital emergency department and they will advise you as well. And again, other questions you can give to our nurse on call at 1-800-848-5533.
All right. And if you're just joining us, I want to thank you. This is Dave Coulter, Oakland County Executive. We're hosting this special call for senior citizens about coronavirus, and I'm here with Kathy Forsley, our Director of Health and Human Services. So if you have a question, press 9. Hillary, do we have someone?
We sure do. We have a question from Michael from Commerce Township. Michael, can you ask your question?
Yes. I am over 70. I want to go shop this time. What can I do to prevent from virus, to prevent myself from getting the virus, corona?
So, and Kathy, I think that part of his questions was about his medications. He's interested in being able to go out to the store to get his medications.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's very important, too, to be thinking about your medications, especially if we might be quarantined at home. We need to be prepared. So don't wait till your prescriptions run out. We need to make sure that we really keep a good stock of them. As soon as our insurance will pay for them or we're running out within 2 weeks, we should be refilling. You are able to go to a pharmacy and do that. Some pharmacies have drive-thrus. I would take advantage of that if I could. And then if you do go to a pharmacy counter, to pick it up, I'd stay well away from anyone else that is at a prescription counter in case they're ill, and pick them up, and you take hand sanitizer with you and use that in the car when you get home. I would be washing my hands.
we have a question from Russell in Bloomfield Hills about fitness clubs, and we have had several of these questions about whether it's safe to go to a gym or a fitness club. Russell, are you avail- are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead.
Specifically, I was asking, I go at off times when there are not a lot of people there. Is there anything inherently suspect about using a swimming pool during these times?
So interestingly, as part of our order last Friday to close restaurants and bars to 50% capacity, and we included physical fitness and entertainment venues in that, this morning the governor issued an order closing bars and restaurants and only allowing carryout. And it's just come across our desk that she's now added physical fitness and entertainment venues to that order. So it looks like in the short term, you won't have to worry about that because those venues are going to be closed for a little while. This just came out from the governor, like literally while we were on this call, but it appears that those venues will also now be closed along with bars and restaurants.
I want to go to an important question about Meals on Wheels. Phil Nye is on the line. Mr. Nye, can you ask your question?
Yeah, I was just curious if people who are receiving Meals on Wheels, should they be canceling it, or if there's, as far as we know, Meals on Wheels taking the necessary steps to ensure our well-being?
Meals on Wheels is a program that needs to continue. It's vitally important that our people that receive that those meals continue because nourishment is a big part of staying healthy, and we do not want to see that stop. We also know that the sites that are providing those meals are under scrutiny of the government, and they go through inspections, and it's part of the food law that people stay home when you're sick. They've been practicing that far longer than we've been talking about it with this coronavirus. So I think they're doing everything possible to make sure that they are delivering a nutritious, healthy, safe meal.
Great question. We probably have time for a couple more. Hillary, do we have additional questions? If you have one, by the way, press 9.
Yeah, and we have a lot of questions about different services in terms of, you know, water services. Will they shut off any more water? And, you know, the answer to that from our Water Resources Commissioner is that they are not doing any water shutoff. We had an earlier question about the Secretary of State's office, and so I would let people know that the Secretary of State's office has moved to appointment only. So you can call their number or make an appointment online. We do have a number available just to help people with any of these basic questions. It's 248-858-1000. It's like a helpline. So any of those types of questions after this call, people should feel free to ask. But I want to go back to a person who has another question about testing. So Denise, who's from Ferndale, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. I just come into the country through Metro Airport on Monday, and then yesterday I started, are you there?
Yes.
I started to come down with a slight fever and no appetite and a little bit achy. It just seems like flu symptoms, but I'm a bit of a quandary now because I called the doctor and he said there's no test kits there, and said I just don't know if I should get tested or just wait it out and see.
So your doctor said that he has no test kits, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So if your doctor is telling you to quarantine at home and see if your symptoms get worse, I highly recommend you go to our website, www.ogov.com/health. Click on the public button. There's under that button, you'll find something called self-monitoring guidance. There are things to look for, things you should be thinking about. If your symptoms get worse and your doctor can't test you, You can still call your doctor to ask for advice if you should go to the emergency room. If your doctor is not there, you can call the emergency room, and you can certainly call Nurse on Call if you've exhausted those resources and you still have questions. Call Nurse on Call at 1-800-848-5533. It's between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Good luck, sir. We hope you feel better soon.
Yes.
Hillary, in regards to what you said about shutoffs, we know that the Water Resource Commissioner is not doing water shutoffs. DTE has also announced that they won't be doing electric shutoffs. So I think more and more you'll see that. But Hillary, could you give that phone number again just for general questions? Because this is important. If you have non-medical questions in particular, we have a great new hotline that you can call with any question or concern, however it relates to the virus. And Hillary, would you give that number again?
It's 248-858-1000. And when we when our call ends today, everybody that's on the call will be transferred to a voicemail, and you will be able to ask any question that we weren't able to get to. So we have another travel question. So I'm going to go to Marge in Clarkston. Marge, can you ask your question?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yes.
I'm planning a driving trip with my adult daughters, April the 3rd, for 1 week to Florida, and we rented a condo. Should I cancel it, or I don't know what to do?
So my advice to you would be to postpone it. And the reason for that is that across the country, the numbers are changing rapidly with case counts in every city across America. And you're on your way to, if you're on your way to Florida, Florida is experiencing the same issue. You may be driving through or to a location that has significantly increased risk over staying here, but I think even equally important is when you get to a location that is not familiar to you, and should you have come exposed to it and start to develop symptoms, you're in an area where you don't really know the medical providers and they don't know you. It's better to stay where you are, where you have familiarity with your physician with you, and you know the hospital systems here, and you have lots of resources around you here. Because should you become sick in another city, you could be stuck there for quite some time in unfamiliar territory. So we are advising people to strongly consider postponing their trip.
Thanks, Kathy. We have another question.
We have a lot of questions about people who have appointments scheduled, whether they be with their cardiologist or other follow-up appointments to get a second shingles shot. So, Kathy, can you just go over the instructions on what you should do if you had an annual appointment or an upcoming appointment?
So this is something that should be done as considered on a case-by-case basis, in consultation with your physician that you are intending to see. Even though it might be an annual appointment, which I think most physicians would advise you to defer to a later date, but on the other hand, there could be some blood work that they really need to be keeping an eye on, and it might be very important to know how you're doing in that area. So they may say, no, we still need to see you. Or they may say, let me ask you some questions over the phone just to make sure I'm comfortable with you skipping this appointment for a while. And the cardiologist is the same way. The cardiologist really may need to see you and would still advise you to come. And they're going to be taking extra precautions to make sure that you're safe. But where they can, they will probably postpone.
But keep in mind, everyone, with that advice, it's okay if you're not feeling sick, it's okay to go to the grocery store, try to go when it's not crowded if that's possible. It's okay to pick up your dry cleaning, try to avoid people. So we're not telling you to self-isolate if you don't feel sick, but just take a lot of precautions wherever you go and call ahead to see if you really need to go. Again, this is Dave Coulter, your county executive. Hillary, do we have any other questions?
A few more questions. I'm going to go to Regina Allen, who is a nurse. Regina, can you ask your question?
Yes. I work on a psychiatric unit, but I do have bronchial asthma and chronic bronchitis, and I'm a diabetic. Should I be going into work?
A lot of employers are making concessions for people to be able to do something from home. You can still feel comfortable going to work if they're, if you're expected to go to work, provided that you don't have a condition that your doctor is recommending you to stay home for. But employers are really starting to make sure people aren't working when they're sick. And if you think you're working around someone that's exhibiting symptoms, you should have that discussion with your employer. And, you know, you may at some point make a decision that you need to go home to protect yourself. But, you know, really that's a discussion between you and your doctor and your employer. And, again, it's on a case-by-case basis. And you know, what is your exposure when you're at work? Are you talking face-to-face with the public all day long? Are you in close quarters with a lot of coworkers? Maybe there's things that can be done at work to eliminate that exposure for you.
Okay, I'm going to go to Joy in Oak Park. Ms. Garten, can you ask your question?
Sure. During the measles crisis last year, they were listing where people who had been exposed to people who had measles. I'm wondering why that has not been done with this crisis and if it could be. I think it would give people a sense of security that they have a little bit of control.
I would love to answer that question. The fact is we are publishing places where people have been exposed. Let me tell you a little bit about our process. When we have a case, we do a detailed history. Our epidemiologists and our communicable disease staff work with each case, doing a trace back history of every place they've gone since the symptoms began. And if we can get in touch with every single person at every single location they've been, which is quite manageable for some locations, we go ahead and do that, and we quarantine people that may have had close contacts with them. If they've been at a location where we can reach all of those people and assess them and quarantine them and monitor them, we don't publish that location. But when it's a location where there's a lot of people, say at a grocery store or a restaurant or a bar, then we definitely are publishing those locations, and you can find them on our website. And every time we have a press release, that's released as well. So the media outlets have been broadcasting that. It's on their website. So we're doing our very best to get those locations out there. But having said that, it doesn't mean that there aren't other places you might come in contact with it, so we are always advising people to utilize those great prevention steps of social distancing and hand washing.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So I'm going to turn it back over to County Executive Dave Coulter just to wrap things up, and then when he finishes with that, I will give everybody the information again in terms of our help hotline.
So, Hillary,
Executive Coulter. Excellent. Okay, so I will, let me just give those numbers. So I think a lot of people asked for the phone numbers. So it is 248-858-1000, and that's a number that we've set up to answer some basic questions. If you need to reach our nurse on call, the number is 800-848-1000.
5533. But again, the 248-858-1000 number will also get you to the nurse on call. So again, thank you very much for joining the telephone town hall for senior citizens in Oakland County, sponsored by Oakland County Executive Dave Coulter. A lot of people have asked if we'll do this phone call again. I think it really depends on the circumstances going forward. I think it was very useful. We hope we got a lot of questions asked. So it's possible we'll do so again in 10 days or so. We're also going to do similar phone calls, but do them in the evening so other folks who might be still working where it would be more convenient to participate in the evening can do the phone call as well. So, again, thank you very much for joining us. If you have any questions, you can leave them after the phone hangs up. You'll be transferred to a voicemail, or please don't hesitate to call us at 248-858-1000. Thank you very much.